Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome and a very happy Friday to you. Well, I pray that you had a weekend of reflection and joy as we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe really that God moved in the hearts of people all around the world and brought many into the kingdom just this weekend. And that is a cause for rejoicing. Well, if you'd like to find out more about what it means to have a relationship with God, go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and just click on the tab that says Your Faith. Okay, here's my interview with Aaron Schust. All right, I don't want to waste another minute. Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get him on the show. Aaron Schust is a singer, songwriter, husband, father, and worshiper of God. His most well-known songs include My Savior, My God, Give Me Words to Speak, My Hope Is in You, and Give It All Away. He's toured for over 10 years in multiple countries, and since 2010, Aaron and his wife and their children have lived in Pennsylvania, where Aaron is the worship leader at the church he grew up attending. You can learn more about him on the web at aaronschust.com. Aaron, welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Susie. It is so good to be back.
Well, as you know, we always start out talking scripture, and the passage you chose this time was John 16:33. I've told you these things so that you may, in me, have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Talk to us about why you chose that verse today.
I love that verse. I just feel like it encapsulates so much of our issues with faith and trust and worry and anxiety. I think one, I'd have to look it up, but I did a Twitter post about a year or so ago, saying like, I can't even remember, but like the New Jersey definition or the paraphrase of that verse would be something like, you know, hey, in this world things are going to be tough, but forget about it, I got this. You know, it's like, don't worry, you know, cast your cares upon me. Yes, you're going to have trouble in this world, Jesus says. Now, don't be shocked by it. Don't be surprised. Be shocked if it doesn't happen. I would say in concert, if you haven't had trouble, if you've had an easy road, brace yourself because you're next. Mm. You're going to have trouble. But then he says, take heart. I've overcome the world. I'm stronger. I'm bigger. I've got this. Mm. I love that. I just feel safe in my daddy's arms when I read that. And, John 16:33.
So powerful. And you think about it, the Spirit of the living God, the same power that raised him from the dead, is alive in us. And so overwhelming victory belongs to us as well because he won it for us, right?
Amen. Mm. Yes.
Love that. Well, your album came out, I believe, was it July, Morning Rises?
Yes, July 16th.
And we had you on a while back. We played songs, had just such a powerful time. I love the cover of this album, by the way. Mm-hmm. What has been the response thus far?
You know what? The response that I see with my own eyes is in concert. And I do my best to not get lost in the minutiae of the details of the business and how many records I sold and stuff. The point that the thing I think about is I'm going to try my best to do, you know, what God's given me. I think of the parable of the talents, and whether he's given me 5 talents or 2 talents, I want to make sure that I do my best in this life to double them, you know, be faithful with that. So I look at these songs as they're, I look at the crowd while I'm singing these songs, whether it's in a concert scenario or in a worship scenario. And I love to see the response. I love to see the hands raised and the eyes closed and knowing that people are engaging in worship. And maybe they're not, and maybe they're not getting lost in worship. Maybe they're in a place in their life where they're not ready to be that demonstrative and say, yeah, I'm not going to stand in public and raise my hands and close my eyes quite yet. But I see them looking at the words that we have clearly displayed behind us on the screen and soaking it all in. Hopefully they're words of truth, and they're words from Scripture and based on Scripture and sung back to God, inspired by Scripture. And I hope that, you know, I hold to the verse that says that word won't return void.
Indeed.
And that's the response I want.
Mm, that's so powerful. I think when we see Jesus face to face and we understand the reality of what our worship, how it changes the atmosphere, I think for the briefest moment we're going to wish we worshiped more. And, you know, we had Max Lucado on yesterday, and he said such a great statement, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he said, when we worship, he said, we position ourselves for victory. We cultivate an atmosphere for breakthrough. And I just think that's so true. And on the flip side, we can get so stuck in disappointment that we derail our perspective. But maybe say a word about that, about when we enter into a place of worship, and it really is a sacrifice of praise a lot of times when you feel like you're dying on the vine. But talk about just your thoughts on what happens in the spiritual realm.
Man, you know what? That's the beauty of it, is what happens in the spiritual realm. I could go on and on about the psychology behind why worship might be good for our brains, but it's so much more than that, isn't it? And
mm-hmm.
We know that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, and that's huge. That's huge. That is not a verse to be glazed over. Very lovingly try to communicate with the people in a church service or at a concert. Well, I really just feel like shaking them by the shoulders and saying, if we worship God, he inhabits our praises. Mm. Don't you want him here? Don't you want him to just enter this place and rock our worlds in his manifest presence? We know that he's here, that he's everywhere, that he's omnipresent. And we're gathered in his name and he's here with us. But when he shows up in power, that's something that we're out of our depth at that point in time. We just need to raise our hands, whether it's in praise or in submission, and say, God, this is your ballgame in the first place, and I'm just along for the ride, and wherever you go, I will follow, and wherever you lead, I'll go. And that's a place that you can't necessarily anticipate or describe. This is what's going to happen when you worship and God shows up. But I just know that I want him to show up, and some amazing things happen when I least expect it, but I find myself in a place of submission. I think that's what it is, and that's what worship is. It's identifying, hey, you are greater than I am.
Yeah.
Isaiah 55:9, your ways are higher, your thoughts are higher than mine. And so I'm just acknowledging your greatness, your holiness, your otherness, and how far above me you are. And then you just let the Spirit do what he wills.
Mm. When you think about that, when we humble ourselves, it is no small thing to God. In fact, I think it's in Isaiah. It says, I dwell in the high, in the holy, lofty place of a broken, contrite heart. So our God, the star-breathing God, considers it a great honor and privilege to dwell in this high place of a low, broken heart. I just think that's mind-blowing.
that is absolutely mind-blowing.
Mm. So you've got this album, Morning Rises, and you included the song Cornerstone on it. Talk about what you love about that song and why it's on the album.
Well, first of all, I love so many of the old hymns, and I qualify so many. I think, I've learned in the past that so often every single hymn gets almost deified in relation to choruses by a lot of people because, the old hymns were so full of such great theology. And I believed that until one day I came across one of my mom's old hymnals. And it was this old, crusty little hymn book that was copywritten in 1860. Like, it was printed in the 1860s or 70s.
Hmm.
So this was not a collection of old hymns. This was the original old hymn book. And I'm going through these hymns, and so many of them were just full of fluff.
Hmm.
This really didn't. And I was kind of shocked. I'm like, wow, that was a bad little hymn right there.
I've never heard anybody put bad little and him in the same sentence.
Bad little him. But it made me realize it's the great ones that survive by the grace of God, And this one, that Cornerstone, which is a new chorus and a new melody written by some of the guys in Hillsong, Australia, took the solid rock and fantastic words. Not a bad little hymn, a great big hymn that they just redressed with some new music for a new generation. And to be able to sing, and I grew up singing the original hymn, but to sing My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and His Righteousness is basically what it means. It's a compound predicate there to impress my old English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' Blood and His Righteousness. Just those first two lines are so thick and full of theology. And I fell in love with the melody. I love the old hymns. Great, great chorus. And I thought, I would love an excuse to get to sing this night after night after night. So we went ahead and recorded it.
Mm.
I'd love to do it. Love to do it.
So, so glad that you did. And so we're going to listen to Cornerstone off of Aaron Shoup's new album, Morning Rises. Now, I tell you, we've got four copies to give away. I have a question for you, unless you've got a question for Aaron. Here's my question for you. Given the season of life you're now in, what attribute of God right now compels you most to worship? Is it his strength, his fatherliness toward you, his mercy, his kindness, his willingness to forgive? What is it? What attribute of God in your season of life compels you to worship in this place. Otherwise, if you've got a question for Aaron, now's the time to give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Here's Cornerstone. So powerful. That's from Aaron Schust. That line, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Boy, Aaron, we could unpack that for the whole hour, couldn't we? Because we're to be found in him and standing on his righteousness, not on our efforts. How powerful when you think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely powerful. I love this song. And I love the weak made strong. I think of 2 Corinthians 12:10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And his strength, so important.
So powerful. So I pose the question, given your current season of life, what attribute of God is just compelling you to worship? We got 4 copies of Aaron's album to give away, 877-933-2484. We've got Donna calling in from Superior. Donna, welcome. You're on the air with Aaron Schust.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Donna.
Hi. The attribute that comforts me most right now is that God is all-knowing. No matter what our government is doing, no matter how the world is going, we may be in the end times, but God knows every step of our day, and we can depend on Him and trust Him, and it's a great comfort to me.
Yeah, very good, Donna. Mm-hmm. That wind makes me feel like Jesus is coming back. Well, Donna, you get a copy of Aaron's album. Boy, that is just powerful.
You know what I share every night, and I already shared on the phone just now from Isaiah 55:9, and I say, you know, I feel like God kind of chuckles whenever He says, "My ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts."
Yeah.
It's okay. And I think of Jeremiah 29:11. I talk about that in the same conversation, that He kind of chuckles when He says, "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Donna said, He knows what's going on. And I tell people, you know, He's not worrying. He's not rubbing His hands and going, oh no, what's going to happen? He's like, "I know the plans I have for you, and they're plans to prosper you." I just recently learned, Susie, that the word prosper in the Hebrew means to realize our full potential. He wants for us to realize our full potential, not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. And I am totally on board with that.
Yeah.
If that's what God knows, count me in. I love it.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you don't mind, last time you were on, you talked about some of the health challenges your children face. And boy, that's been a journey for you. Can you give us an update on your family?
You know what? My little boy, Michael, has gone through so many. He's 21 months old. Just 2 days ago, he's been 21 months old. He's still so tiny, but he's starting to put on a little bit of weight. It was a strange little thing. I think it's still a mystery as to why he's so small, with the exception of the Down syndrome. A lot of children with Down syndrome are just small, and we think Michael's one of them. Of course, we've had some people who are like, "Well, you know, we have to figure out why he's small," and we think it's and some people came out of the woodwork and said, "Well, we think that your wife isn't feeding him, and there's some neglect involved." And so
my goodness.
An entire other can where the state got involved. And you know what? We've had a lot of people come to our house that we didn't wish would come to our house. We've had a chance to love them with the love of Jesus. And it looks like that in the next couple of weeks, this whole thing's going to blow over and they're going to close the case. But it's been a trial, you know. The injury has already happened with the health issues, and then this seems to be the insult that was added to it. Like, "Oh man, no, how do we convince you that we love our children?"
Oh my goodness, I had no idea. I'm so very sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
It's another thing that God has brought, you know, that's why I love John 16:33 so much. "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome it."
Yeah.
We cling to those truths and those promises that we read in the scripture. But our boys are home, they're smiling, they're happy. And despite the trouble that has come our way, we have so much to be thankful for.
You know something, too, Aaron, as I've been thinking about just the latter days, I think more and more God's people are going to suffer wrongful accusations and assigned motives. And He is our fortress and He's our vindicator. And something about that we don't hear a ton about as far as that justice and righteousness are the foundations of His throne. And so though these things happen, He is a God of justice, and He will vindicate. And
mm-hmm.
so to hide ourselves in Him, He sees, doesn't He? And He knows,
yes.
As you were saying.
Yes, Elroy, the God who sees.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, bless your heart. Wow. We got Peter calling in from Barnum. And Peter, you get a copy of Aaron's album. Welcome. You're on the air with Aaron Schust.
Hi, Susie.
Hey.
Nice to talk to you.
Me too.
I have been rereading Andrew Murray's book on blessings and covenants, and the thing that I'm impressed with in God right now is that His plan, and He does it all. We just receive by faith and act on that, and He does it all.
Hmm.
He gives us a new heart. He gives us everything. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. Neither he who plants or waters is anything but God who makes things grow. That's just so powerful. Thank you, Peter. You get a copy of Aaron's album. So next song we're going to hear is A Mighty Fortress. And do you have some backstory around that song?
Mighty Fortress is the first song that I began to write for this album. And I began to write it literally 2 days before Michael was born. And this is before we knew, everything that the doctors had told us, and we had many, many sonograms because Sarah was high-risk pregnancy, was that he was a completely typical, healthy child, nothing to fear. So we were surprised to find out 4 minutes after he was born that he definitely had Down syndrome.
Mm.
We have no background with Down syndrome in either of our families, and I only say that because we didn't know what to expect. And it seemed like an overwhelming and daunting thing to be given, you know, and we had people coming out of the woodwork saying there's such a gift, and that wasn't quite enough to make us, you know, leap for joy yet. We had so many blog comments, and I don't want to get away from Mighty Fortress. There's a story that connects here. So many blog comments when I told people that, you know, that Michael had come into our life and that he has Down syndrome and a major heart defect, who commented by saying, We know where you are. We've been in the same place, and fear and not knowing what the future holds, but there is such a joy that will come from that boy being in your family that we wanted to share that we've gone out now. We've adopted 2 or 3 more children with Down syndrome.
Wow.
And that gave us such hope. This was not the beginning. This was not the end of something. It was the beginning of something unknown, and that was exciting.
Hmm.
And I clung to those words in that song that I had just written 2 days earlier. You won't abandon. You won't deceive. You won't desert us. You'll never leave. I wanted to write, instead of writing about all the things that he does and all the things that he is, I wanted to write, to take a different angle and write about all the things that God would never do, and to sing about that. And I ended up finishing this song. It meant so much to me because of that time in the hospital, right? That was my mantra. That was my sanity, to sing these words of truth and these promises of God that he would never desert me. I wanted so badly to be on the record. I went with I called Paul Balash, who wrote "Open the Eyes of My Heart" and so many other great songs in the church. And I said, "Would you help me finish the song? I want to make sure it makes it on the album in a special place." And we ended up writing the chorus, "Mighty Fortress," one afternoon. I adore the song. I play it every night in concert.
Beautiful. Let's hear it.
He won't abandon. He won't deceive. He won't desert us. He won't ever leave. He'll never forsake us. He won't ever run. He'll never reject us, the faithful one. Your love will remain. Your love will remain. A mighty fortress is our God. A tower of strength, never failing. The name of Jesus, true and strong. No other power could ever save us. You are good, you are good. Mighty fortress. Mighty fortress. You won't.
talking to Aaron Schust. We have to take a quick and short break. When we come back, we'll hear more music, we'll take your calls, and we will be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have as our guest Aaron Schust. So glad to have him back on the program. If you've not checked out his album, Morning Rises, you're going to want to. And that song you just heard, we have to hear in its entirety. Aaron, that's a song when Kevin and I and my hubby are on the road when I'm going to speak at conferences. We play that. We blare that thing. And that song honestly puts my arms in the air, gets my heart ready to speak. I just can't even tell you how much I love that song.
Mm. That's awesome. That's great for me to hear. I love that.
Now, you have a little story behind that one, if I remember right, that you guys would sing that pre-concert, kind of just to get your own hearts ready. Is that right?
No One Higher?
Yeah, or maybe I had that mixed up with a different one. What, is there a backstory to No One Higher?
No One Higher is the one that that we would do a couple. We embedded it into our pre. Oh, we don't have a name for it. We call it prayer time, for lack of a better terminology. But we would... I wasn't able to do it on this last tour, but I look forward to doing it on this tour coming up when I'm headlining. Is on a half hour before we open doors to the general public, we literally lock down the sanctuary. Aside from actually bolting the doors, we play some worship music with a. I got this from Big Daddy Weave. They're the ones that demonstrated this to me. We got a playlist of our favorite worship songs. We bump it in the system nice and loud. We bring the house lights down and bring up the stage lights really cool so it has this nice atmosphere to the whole room. And we just pray. And not everyone has to come. It's not mandatory. But so for those who want to be in the room, to just prepare their hearts and pray and worship. And it's we pray over the seats. And No One Higher was one of the songs from the North Point Inside Out album that made that track listing, because some of my guys in my band are from the North Point Church system down in Andy Stanley's church you mentioned down in Atlanta. And it's just a fantastic song of worship. Man, I just love singing those words. And again, I was like, I want an excuse to play this every night.
So I did remember it right, because I remember I just was picturing you guys in this empty sanctuary, just kind of, you know, setting the atmosphere, getting your heart in a place just to worship him. And this one is powerful. And for me, I love all the songs on this album, but this one just knocks it out of the park for me. Let's hear No One Higher.
Gracious to forgive us.
So powerful. That's Aaron Shust, No One Higher. We have him as our guest today. Aaron, I don't know if it's weird for you to come on the radio and sit back and listen to your songs, but we love it because we love to hear your backstory, your heart, and then your music. I hope that's okay for you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
it. I'm honored.
Yeah. Well, you recently blogged about Nehemiah and how he employed double action with regards to his problems and even his calling. And I really like that. You made this distinction that sometimes in the smallness of our problems, we just take things into our own hands. And then the flip side, when problems are so big, we throw ourselves on God, which is a good place to go, without taking any wise steps maybe that he's calling us to. So I would love for you to unpack the message of that double action and what it means to us today.
I loved the concept. I was just reading one morning. I was actually in the same room that I'm sitting in right now here at home and reading one morning and loving the idea, the visual image. I'm a very visual learner. The fact that they practically were continuing to build the wall, and while they prayed for protection, they also, in one hand they held the hammer, so to speak, and the other hand they held a sword. And they were prepared, prepared with verse 9 of chapter 4, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard and night to meet this threat. Like, being what a practical application that exists for us to be able to say, sadly the first example that comes to my mind is whenever we as a band and on a tour go into a town and we find out that, oh man, there's a, you know, we have this place with 500 seats, and we've only sold 10 tickets. What happened? And the promoter would say, "Oh, you know, we prayed. We just prayed that God would bring the people. We didn't really do anything."
Oh, that's painful.
We didn't. And it's just like, oh no! And just that idea that God wants us to go to Him with our requests, make our requests known to God. We can approach the throne of grace boldly because of Jesus. But at the same time, He's called us to action. And, you know, I mentioned the parable of the talents earlier. We don't want to just bury what God has given us and hope that the next time we dig it up, there's going to be more there. You know, God has called us to be shrewd and yet innocent. And so that's what was hitting me with that story of Nehemiah. I was like, wow, they were prepared for both.
Yeah, and there's great wisdom and grit in that, because we sure can use it as a cop-out to go, you know, well, we prayed, and praying, of course, we talk about prayer on the show all the time, but it's never an excuse for inactivity when there's something in our hand that we have to do, right?
Absolutely.
And so often you'll hear people say, or we're even tempted to say, oh, there's nothing I can do, but I've thought a lot about that, and to me, that's just never true. We can wait, we can pray, we can fast, we can give, we can be kind, we can forgive, and so talk a little bit about that, because there is something in our hand for, you know, there's times he calls us to waiting, but even waiting isn't a passive biding your time. It's a leaning in and a gritty kind of hanging onto his promises. Strike a balance for us here.
Well, you know what? It makes me think just that what you were sharing makes me think of a song that I wrote on the last album, the This Is What We Believe album, We Are Free. And there's such a there's such a conversation that can happen with the theology of freedom. You know, well, are we bound by this or are we free? And that's kind of what I was trying to encapsulate in the chorus. We are free to love as our God has loved. We're free to give as He gave. We're free from sin, and we're free to begin to forgive as He forgave. So it's a freedom. It's not an obligation as much as we've been set free to do good. We're not bound by this set of laws. I always try to think that the law that was given to the children of Israel in the Old Testament was not an illogical set of boundaries. It was like, this is what you would do to live well. It will go well for you if you do the following. And as we see, as the children of Israel strayed away from those commandments, things did not go well for them. And so we have a God who's loved us so much to give us direction in life and to give us, you know, to give us freedom. And I might be steering away from what you're talking about. I apologize if so, but that's where my brain is wandering.
No, I'm so tracking with you, because I'm thinking about Jesus, you know, His coming to set us free is an invitation to more, to experience more on every level. Because you even think about how He talked about the law. You know, you've heard it said, it's been written, that you commit adultery. Well, I say that if you so much as look at a person, you know, I mean, on every turn, He invites us to more. We look sometimes as our freedom to do less, but I think it's an invitation to experience more. Not that the ought to and the should do, but He invites us into the more of Him. Don't you think?
Yes, and the more is good. And if we believe that up front, then there's nothing to fear.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we miss. You know, more and more obligation. No, that's not what it is. It's more life. You know, the abundant life. John 10:10.
Yeah.
You know, how's that verse go?
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life. Yes.
To have it abundantly. Yes.
Very good. Well, I appreciated that insight because I just think it was just great wisdom and that there's something in our hand to do. And so often, I would say more often, we have to have a hammer in our hand because we've got to steward the day that he gives us, but we're still always battling too, right? Yeah.
Definitely.
So good. Well, let's talk about Rushing Waters. That's one of your songs around heaven, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A fantastic song written by Dustin Smith, the gentleman who I have not met yet. And then a friend of mine, Michael Farron. Michael Farron and I wrote together on Deliver Me on the album and also Firm Foundation, but this is a song that he wrote with Dustin. And I love, it's what I call a throne room song. I'm always looking for a throne room song to sing, and I actually wrote another one on this record, but Rushing Waters is definitely one of my favorite. We haven't performed it yet in concert. We're saving it for this spring. We're going out this spring, and really looking forward to just having this moment. I actually plan on reading a section from Revelation 4 or 5 before I go into the song, because I want to just set the scene to say, you know, kind of like Isaiah and Isaiah 6, when he found himself before the throne of God, and how often we find those situations, like John in Revelation, they drop to their face in fear. It takes an angel to stand up and say, don't be afraid. Mm. But when we find ourselves before a holy God, before the throne room, where the angels are constantly singing, holy, 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 there's just this moment. And I think that's Rushing Waters is one of those songs that takes you to that place where if you can picture yourself at the foot of the throne room, there's this noise of praise and worship happening around you. You're just in awe.
Mm. Boy, wish I could be there in the spring when you're going to roll this thing out. Boy, but here we go.
I hope we come your way. I really do.
Let us know if you come to KTIS. We'll get you in studio. So, all right, Rushing Waters.
Let us hear the sound of angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Let us see the saints and elders gathering and worship round your throne. There is only one desire in the heart of your redeemed, to step deeper in the place where earth and heaven meet.
Two-step deeper in the place where earth and heaven meet. Two-step deeper in the place where earth and heaven meet. When the sound of my crushing walls,
God reigns. It's true. And he's coming again. I have a challenge for you, friend. Don't wait for Thanksgiving to praise him. Here's an assignment and a challenge for you and for me. How about we worship God every single day between now through Thanksgiving? And let's talk about it. So put on a song or two and worship out loud and just praise him, because he reigns and he is over all and he's coming again. Wow. You know, Aaron, I think when you sing that, you guys might blow the roof off.
I tell you what.
Get ready.
I got so lost in the moment in the recording studio, recording it with the band. So the band is playing it live for the first time, and I knew I was going to have to come back a month later to do final vocals. So I wasn't really worried about, you know, I wasn't getting lost in the minutia of my vocal detail. I had a hand in the air in the vocal booth, and you know what? We ended up using mostly those vocals from that inspired moment back at the band. And I mean, this song just encapsulates the ultimate worship gathering. In Revelation 19:6, John says, "And I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns." Huge.
So powerful. One thing I've been praying, just because our nation is in such deep need of revival, is that signs and wonders would more and more confirm his word, whether it's in worship, in preaching, listening on the radio. And I pray this all the time for our listeners, Aaron, that people are driving and in a moment they're delivered from depression. In a moment they make the U-turn and reconcile with their spouse. And I just so want to see tangible breakthroughs. And I'm telling you, I don't think you should have a YouTube. I think you should have a video on you guys when you do this, because I think there's going to be appeal of worship that people are going to want to see and see again. So, wow.
You know, you mentioned earlier in the show, there's something that just happens in the air. Something happens in the supernatural realm when worship happens. And I took such a cue during this season and time of my life. I even talk about it in the liner notes of my record. I took a cue from Job and what he went through in chapter 1. And we know the famous response, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What that is was praise. And it even says at the beginning of verse 21, Job dropped to his knees in worship. And then he said what he said.
Wow.
He dropped to it, and he's just like, man, the response is not always deliverance. And I did embed on this record, I wanted one song to say, hey, deliver me, because it needs to be said. It's true. It's honest. But I want my first response to be worship. In any circumstance, in any negative circumstance where I don't know what the future holds, I want my first response to acknowledge, God, I'm not forgetting that you are who you are. I'm not forgetting that you're bigger than this circumstance. I praise you. You give, you take away. Blessed be your name. I want that to be my first response. That's the worship that God inhabits.
You know, indeed. And Dr. Richard Swenson was on the show about a month ago, and I love what he said. He said, every step here is a step there, that the spiritual realm is so real and even more real than the tangible earth, that every step here is a step there. And that kind of worship amidst hardship, I know with all my heart, will echo into eternity. That's something that will follow you or go ahead of you, but you'll see it there. And
amen.
Wow, so powerful. Well, speaking of Deliver Me, again, another powerful song, and it really, I'm sure, expresses the cry of so many's hearts. So talk about that song, and we just have enough time to play one more, and let's play that one. What do you say?
Well, like I said, I wanted to be able to have that one moment where I, you know, I honestly said, boy, I am messed up and I need your help, Jesus. I need you to deliver me. And I very intentionally used as much future tense in this album as I could. I was reading some and talking to some pastors about how a lot of the African-American culture, going back to some of the songs that were written in the slavery of the Deep South, was a promise of the future. We will overcome. We will be delivered. And I loved that, as opposed to just saying, I really hope I'll be delivered. I really hope that you will come and deliver me. Please come and deliver me, to say, you will deliver me. So I'm looking at the lyrics right here. You know, I will trust in only you. You will bring the victory. All your promises are true. It doesn't matter what I see. You know, to be able to incorporate that future tense in there. There's still that plea saying, deliver me as I call upon your name. Be that God who breaks my chain, the shackles of my shame. That chorus, you know, and even the bridge, into your hands I will surrender all. Take it all. Let my life bring you praise. With all I am, I will worship all of you for all you are. And so that kind of future promise, clinging to those promises amidst the needing of deliverance.
Yeah, putting a flag in the ground. We'll get to hear just a little bit of it, and then I'm going to have Aaron pray. Let's hear it.
Deliver me as I call upon your name. Be the God who breaks my chains, all the shackles of my shame. Deliver me from the lies that wreck my heart. Come and lead me from the dark. Father, show how strong you are. Deliver me. Oh Lord, deliver me. Oh, and I will trust in only you. For you will bring the victory. You will bring the victory. All your promises are true. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I see. Deliver me, even when I am afraid. When the world around me shakes, I know you will never change. Deliver me. Oh Lord, deliver me. Oh, and I will trust in only. Are true. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I see.
Deliver me. Maybe that's the cry of your heart today. And Aaron, I'm thinking of that person, and I know I've got some dear friends who are right there. Would you pray for that listener today?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you hear our prayers. Thank you that we can approach the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment, the throne of grace, boldly, because of what you've done for us on the cross. Thank you for hearing our prayers and our pleas, and thank you for the promise that you bring us. I think of what's heavy on my heart right now is Psalm 42, 5 and 6. I love that David, King David, was honest about his depression and his being downcast. And we read in verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. He's praying to you, but he's speaking to himself, and he's reminding himself of truth. I will yet praise him, he says, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. Lord Jesus, our souls at times are so downcast, therefore we will remember you. We will remember your promises. We will remember your love, your all of your characteristics, your gracious, your benevolence, your gracious forgiveness, your strength, the promise that you know the plans you have for us. We cling to that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love for us, which goes beyond reason. And we thank you for your promises for the future for us. Pray this in your name.
Amen. Aaron Schust, thank you once again for your time today.
My absolute pleasure.
Appreciate it so much. Check out his album again, Morning Rises. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com, along with the music and the scriptures referenced throughout the hour. You can also find podcasts from Faith Radio Mornings, Connecting Faith, and Everyday Relationships. Even our weekend programs are there as well. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.